الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن نبينا وحبيبنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تحسبن الله غافلا عما يعمل الظالمون، وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: اتق دعوة المظلوم، فإنها ليس بينها وبين الله حجاب. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers, elders and friends, how often do we find ourselves in a state of confusion, perplexity and disorder, where we begin to feel miserable, restless and uneasy? Everything seems to be going wrong in our life. Nothing seems to be working out right. Our plans backfired. The tasks we aim to accomplish cannot be accomplished. The goals we set to reach cannot be reached. Life seems to have become very depressing and miserable. That despite the hugeness and the vastness of this world, it seems to have become very tight and narrow upon us. When a person's condition has become such, then one needs to introspect into his life. One needs to examine his records and check his past. Has he ever caused any harm, any pain to any person unrightfully? Has he ever abused any person verbally, physically, emotionally? One of the primary causes for such harsh, unpleasant conditions coming upon us, when a person is guilty of committing oppression, when a person has ill-treated someone, has caused pain and harm to someone without any valid reason, then such harsh, such unpleasant conditions should definitely be expected. The opening verse that I've recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very clearly and boldly addresses humanity at large, saying, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Don't ever think Allah is unaware of the oppression in this world. And if that question ever comes in our mind, why can't we see any revenge taking place in this world? Why can't we see the oppressive rulers and the tyrant kings being punished before our eyes? And the answer is very clear, that this world is not a place of recompense. Rather, it is a place of test and tribulations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further states, إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارِ. Such people are merely given respite by Allah until such a day in which their gazes will be fixed in terror and horror. مُهْطِعِينَ مُقْنِعِي رُؤُوسِهِمْ. And he then further goes on describing some of the horrifying and terrifying conditions that will prevail on the Day of Judgment. The hadith I've recited to you, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, اتقي دعوة المظلوم. In one narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, ثلاثة لا ترد دعوتهم. Three people's du'as will never go unanswered in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first, al-imam al-adil, a just upright ruler who treats people fairly and equally. The second, as-sa'im hatta yuftir, one who is fasting for the pleasure of Allah, abstaining from food and drink for the sake of Allah. His du'as are also accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last, al-madhloom, one who is a victim of abuse and oppression.
One who is in pain, in distress, in agony, because he's being ill-treated by someone. Someone is trying to make his life miserable and depressing. He's being verbally abused, sometimes physically abused, sometimes emotionally abused. Such a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam on his might and his honor. وَعِزَّتِي لَأَنصُرَنَّكَ وَلَوْ بَعْدَ حِينَ. Allah addresses such a person saying, by my might and honor, I will certainly help and assist you. He who is in pain, in distress, because he's going through some difficult conditions, because someone is trying to make his life very difficult, and every time he wakes up in the morning, having to deal with that harm and that abuse, and he goes on like this, months pass, years go on, he should comfort and console himself by realizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing him saying, وَلَا أَنصُرَنَّكَ وَلَوْ بَعْدَ حِينَ. He who is guilty of committing oppression, he who is guilty of abusing people, taking away the rights of others, devouring the wealth of people, mocking and laughing at others, such a person in reality has challenged the might and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah states, I am on the side of the one who is oppressed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, addressing his beloved companion, Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. Who is Mu'adh? On one occasion, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, Ya Mu'adh, wallahi inni la uhibbuk. By the qasam of Allah, I have sincere love for you. Nabi alayhi salam is now sending him to Yemen, bidding him farewell, giving him parting advices. And the hadith appears in Musnad of Ahmad rahimahullah, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walking on foot, and Mu'adh ibn Jabal sitting on his conveyance, and giving him parting advices. What should he do in this land of Yemen? Oh Mu'adh, you're going to a foreign land, and you're going to propagate Islam and teach people deen. Yassir wala tu'assir. Make matters easy for people. Do not make matters cumbersome and difficult. Bashir wala tunaffir. Give hope and encouragement. Do not chase away anyone from the deen of Allah. Do not become a cause of someone leaving the fold of Islam. O Mu'adh, iyyaka wat-tana'um. Beware. Stay away from a very lavish, luxurious life in this world. فَإِنَّ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ لَيْسُ بِالْمُتَنَعِّمِينَ. The chosen, selected servants of Allah, they don't live a very lavish and a very comfortable life in this world. Rather, they live with simplicity and humility. And at the end of the advice, Nabi alayhi salam tells him, عَسَىٰ أَن لَا تَلْقَانِي بَعْدَ عَامِ هَذَا. O Mu'adh, you are going to this land of Yemen, but perhaps you will return after a year, but you will not find me anymore. You will pass by my grave and my masjid. فَبَكَى مُعَاذٌ جَشَعَ. Mu'adh hears this, and he breaks down in tears. He cannot hold back his tears. He begins to cry like a little child. Imagine at the airport if you are leaving for overseas, and your mother or your father, after making musafaha, after embracing you, after shaking your hands, and then they tell you, you are going, our du'as are with you, we wish well for you, but this is the last we meet in this world. Wallahi, the love that Sahaba enjoyed for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, none of us have ever been imbued by such love. None of us have ever tasted such love for any human, let alone Nabi alayhi salam. Amongst these parting advices given to Mu'adh radiallahu an, اتَّقِ دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ. O Mu'adh, protect yourself from the curse and the cry of one who is oppressed. فَإِنَّهَا لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ. There is no barrier between the dua of one who is oppressed and the supreme divine court of your creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we hear about oppression, about violence, very quickly our minds run to the oppression and the injustice on a governmental level. We forget the smaller form of oppression, the abusive statements, the oppressive deeds that we have perpetrated with our hands by ill-treating our employees, by abusing our spouses, deceiving our customers, lying to our suppliers, trampling on the rights of others, devouring the wealth of people, failing to give people what is due to them, not paying off our debts despite having the ability to do so, mocking people, laughing at others. Is this not all oppression? Ulama have clearly stated, any person who trespasses the limits of Sharia, any person who trespasses the huquq and the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, concerning the rights of others, such a person's name will be listed amongst the oppressors in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To such an extent, even if a parent has to treat his or her children unequally and favors one child over the other without any legit reason, such a parent will be listed amongst the oppressors in the court of the Akhirah. Nu'man bin Bashir radiallahu anhu narrates, on one occasion my father had given me some gift and then he had taken me to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to inform him that this was given to me in his lifetime. There should be no dispute after his death regarding this. So he says, I go with my father to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he presents the entire case to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I have given this as a gift to my child. So there should be no fight, no dispute between his siblings. Look at the first question posed to him by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. أَكُلَّ وُلْدِكَ نَحَلْتَ مِثْلَ هَذَا. Before we go on, tell me, did you give all your children the same? And the reply was in the negative. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells him, إِذَنْ لَا تُشْهِدْنِي عَلَى جَوْرٍ. According to one narration, إِذَنْ لَا أَشْهَدُ عَلَى جَوْرٍ. In that case, do not make me part of your oppression and your injustice. I will never be a witness in a very clear, in a contract of clear oppression and dhulm. Oppression is not restricted to only Muslims. It extends even to non-Muslims. An authentic narration of Sunan Abi Dawood, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reported to have said, the gist of which is, any person who unrightfully causes harm to any non-Muslim, any person who unjustly causes harm to any non-Muslim, what does he say? فَأَنَا حَجِيجُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. I will fight his case in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salam is taking on the responsibility to work on behalf of this non-Muslim in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will fight this Muslim's case. He will fight this non-Muslim's case in the court of Allah. Therefore, a number of jurists have written in the books of Islamic fiqh that causing harm to a non-Muslim, causing harm to a non-Muslim is more severe in the eyes of Allah than causing harm to a Muslim. And then they go on to explain that on the day of Qiyamah, if a person has oppressed any Muslim brother or sister, so the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be passed that all oppressors and all oppressed people should come in this court. And the good deeds of the wrongdoers and the oppressors will be given to the oppressed ones. And their evil deeds will be put on their shoulders. But as for a non-Muslim, there's no question about us taking his evil deeds. There's no question of him going into Jannah because of his disbelief. As a result of which, such a person will definitely be punished in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oppression is not restricted to humans. A very great genius and giant of the past century, a world-renowned alim and scholar of Islam by the name of Abu al-Hasan Ali al-Nadwi rahimahullah. In one of his lectures, he has given some very beautiful, important advice to parents. What does he say? Protect your children from two things. Number one, haram nourishment. When your child is nourished with haram food, unlawful food, or halal food that is earned through haram income, and your child grows with haram in his body, this will later have a negative impact on his life. This will cause him later in his life to only want to go to that which is unlawful, to look at that which is impermissible, to touch that which is forbidden, to speak that which is prohibited. And you and I as the parents, we are to blame for feeding our children haram food. The second important advice, protect your children from the cry and the curse of animals. And he goes on to explain, often we have animal pets at home. In the month of Qurbani, we take our child and we put him in the Qurbani animal, in the pen or in the cage. And we then tell him to go and play with these animals. And very often he starts to abuse these animals, causing these animals to become distressed. This animal cannot express itself verbally. This animal cannot disclose the trauma it's going through. But surely the heart of this animal cries before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama have written that the silence of one who is oppressed, the silence of one who is oppressed is heard louder than the dua of an oppressor. The cry of one who is oppressed never goes unanswered in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Rabbul Izzah takes a qasam, لَأَنْصُرَنَّكَ وَلَوْ بَعْدَ حِينَ. I will certainly help and assist you. So this cry of this animal that is heard in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will later have a negative impact on this child. Later in his life, he will have to face the repercussions and the evil consequences of causing harm to the innocent creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's an incident of a woman who once married a man that was previously married. And he had a child from his previous marriage. So now she comes into this marriage and she has to take responsibility or take charge or take care of her husband's child. After 1 or 2 years, she had been blessed with her own child. And naturally she was more inclined towards her child than her husband's child. So she would treat him different from her husband's child. At the time of breakfast, she would pour a full glass of milk for her child. When it came to her husband's child, her stepson, she would pour half glass of milk. At times 3/4 glass of milk. This young innocent child, staying with his stepmother, his emotions are suppressed, he's subdued, he cannot express himself verbally, he can't disclose the emotions he's going through, no one to complain to, his grandparents had passed away, he can't complain about his stepmother to his father. So he lives in this condition. At times he would think of his late mother, and tears would flow from his eyes, and he would think that if only she was here to look after me, I would have not have to experience whatever I'm going through. Nonetheless, he lives in this condition with sorrow and grief in his heart. Many, many years later, this woman passes away. Her son sees her in a dream, severely, intensely punished in her grave. He's shocked. Ya Ummah, ma fa'ala bik? What has happened to you? You were so righteous and pious your entire life. What wrong have you done that you are being punished in your grave in this way? What was the reply of this woman? Ka'sul halib, ka'sul halib. Don't you know? I would give you a full glass of milk and give your brother half glass of milk. The cry of his heart was heard by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aisha radiallahu anha narrates, there was a woman who came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she complained about her husband ill-treating her and so on. Aisha radiallahu anha says, I tried to hear the conversation but I could not. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter reveals verses that Allah has heard the conversation. Allah has heard the complaint of that woman who complains about her spouse. The cry of one who is oppressed. One who is oppressed doesn't need to raise his hands. He doesn't need to even move his lips or move his tongue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well aware of every thought crossing his mind. Allah is well aware of every move, every action, every statement. And all of this is recorded by the angels who have been appointed to record our deeds. There's an incident of a very poor, humble Sudanese employee who worked in a company in one of the Middle East countries in a factory. And after 10 years of service, he was then diagnosed with a chronic illness due to which he was fired from his job, dismissed from his post. Naturally, he's emotionally overwhelmed and he's overpowered by his anxiety and his worry. Firstly, he has this illness to deal with. Then he got 4 little children to provide for. And the bigger concern was that now he's declared illegal in this country. His work permit was taken away from him. And this humble Sudanese employee doesn't even have the financial ability to relocate or find another job in the next 1 or 2 months. So he decides, let me go back to my boss or my employer. Let me beg and beseech him in the name of Allah to have some mercy towards me. And let me ask him to extend this contract by a few months until I'm stable again and I find my way out. So he takes the courage and he goes to his boss. He enters the office. He seeks permission. And the employer looks at him with a very strange face. Why are you coming here? And then he puts forward his condition, presents his case before him. This merciless employer, instead of helping the person in need, in distress, he begins to raise his voice at him, begins to reprimand him for things that he has never done. Worse than that, did not even give him his full salary for that month. This humble, poor Sudanese employee, who's not a local resident of this country, he says, I left the office of my employer in this pitiable condition, with full of grief and sorrow. No one to complain to. I don't even have enough money to buy food for my family. I don't have the ability to uproot and relocate. But surely Allah is there for me. He says, in the dark hours of the night, I would raise my hands, go in prostration, beg and beseech Allah to bless me with His supreme and divine mercy. Having full hope in the mercy of Allah, I never even use my tongue once to curse or to make dua against my employer. But that cry of my heart was heard by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, not a long while had passed. There was a huge explosion that took place in that factory, causing this big company to come to an end. My respected brothers and elders, اتَّقِ دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ Nabi alayhi salam warned us, protect yourself from the cry of one who is oppressed. Never undervalue, underestimate the dua of one who is oppressed. Imagine that woman of the Bani Israel, devoted worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would fast every day and would be engaged in tahajjud every night. But that one crime that she had committed, where she caused harm to an innocent cat and did not feed that cat until it died, this was so hated in the eyes of Allah. Nabi alayhi salam says when she passed away, she was thrown headlong in the fire of Jahannam. Therefore, if we study the lives of our pious predecessors, we will be amazed and astonished to see the extent they feared the dua of one who is oppressed. A number of salaf are reported to have said, ما هبت شيئا قدت هيبتي من رجل ظلمت. I don't fear anything more than I fear the dua and the curse of one who I have oppressed. Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah is reported to have said, إن لقيت الله بسبعين ذنبا. If you have to go in the court of Allah and present to Him 70 major sins, لَكَانَ أَهْوَنَ مِنْ أَن تَلْقَاهُ بِرَجُلٍ ظَلَمْتَهُ. You still stand a chance of being pardoned in the court of Allah than going before Allah with a single crime of oppression, abuse, ill treatment. You still stand a better chance of winning the examination, passing the examination successfully, entering Jannah with 70 major sins than presenting one sin of dhulm and oppression before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, another great Imam of Islam, Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah, is reported to have said that dhulam is so severe, that ill treatment is something so hated in the eyes of Allah, that even that teacher in a class who is not fair to his pupils and favors one learner over the other, such a person is also listed amongst the oppressors in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Rabbul Izzah states, Ya ibadi, inni harramtu dhulma ala nafsi. O my servants, I have declared oppression, injustice, haram, unlawful upon myself. وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا. I've made it haram for you as well. فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا. Don't dare ever take the courage of causing harm, causing pain to any of my creation. The creation of Allah is like the family of Allah. And the one who is the closest to Allah is the one who is the best to the family and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has blessed us with this auspicious Mubarak month of Sha'ban. The month of Ramadan is at our doorstep. These are golden opportunities given to us to draw from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to go in sujood, to beg and beseech Allah to bless us with His divine supreme mercy. These are opportunities given to us to pick up the phone and give a call to all those people we have caused harm in any way. Anyone we have mocked, we have laughed at. At times we make a joke of someone, and because other people are present, so he feels too shy and embarrassed to disclose his feelings, to express his feelings that he's going through. But he is crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us take this as an opportunity to ask each and every person that we have caused harm to in any way, we have inconvenienced in any way, beg and beseech them for forgiveness. We rather humble ourselves in this world than being humiliated and disgraced in the akhirah. We ask Allah Rabbul Izzah to give us the ability to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.